Yes, and thank you for that question. As we face court tomorrow afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, we are clear that we will continue to demand justice for Breonna Taylor. What that looks like right now is exactly what Attorney Crump said. We need a new special prosecutor who is independent, who is not politically motivated, who is not directly tied to Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump. We need an independent investigator who will listen to the witnesses who lived where Breonna Taylor lived in her apartment complex. There are many witnesses who need to be heard because Breonna Taylor has not received justice.
Attica Scott, I want to thank you for being with us. We'll do part two and post online at democracynow.org, Democratic State Representative in Kentucky. And that does it for our broadcast. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe, wear a mask, save lives. Happy birthday, Rebecca Staley.
Portland.
It is KBOO Portland. It is Monday at 8 a.m. It is time for more talk radio with your host, Cecil Prescott. Stay tuned.
You take
Oh, thank you, cats and kitties, for hanging out. We're going to see if we can get the other host of our program this morning, Celeste Carey.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes!
Okay, at least partial success. How about that? That counts. I mean, if it's just horseshoes, it would count. All right, you are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, 91.9 in Hood River, Oregon, White Summit, Washington, and the Columbia River Gorge. If you are listening at 104.3, you're on our southern-based translator, which reaches Philomath, and let me stick my thumb in the air. It might make it to Eugene, Corvallis, and Albany for sure. And of course, worldwide, it's KBOO.FM. And we're checking to see if we have liftoff. Is that you, Cecil?
Not yet,
I hear. Okay. Well, I guess I'll say, you know, we've had Monday gremlins before. This is nothing new. But what is new is hitting our topic today. So I'm not going to prevail upon Sonia to play it just yet because we're still working on our technical issues here as we try the debut of the talk show strip host in the station. Now, with COVID in effect, and for all of my friends and I and some of my coworkers and I, our joke is, well, because of COVID, or you know, it's COVID. So everything is a little unusual. And you know what else is unusual? Well, we really, in a technical sense, don't have a president. The deuce you say, Celeste. We don't have a president. Well, I don't mean that there wasn't anybody elected. And depending on your point of view, you might say that part's right. But what I mean is we have a officer in chief, the POTUS, the United States president, the most powerful person in the free world, however you want to say it. This person is technically incapacitated.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not had a transfer of power. So what we have is our chief officer, our POTUS, our president of the United States, unable to discharge the duties, and this person has yet to transfer power so that our business can be taken care of. So technically, we don't have a president. I don't know. Have you thought about it that way? Well, here's something else to think about. And when Sonia does get everything in effect, I have a video I want to play from a journalist who resides in the South, whose YouTube channel I watch from time to time and find interesting. It's part of my very broad and varied news resource, information resource. This particular columnist is known as Bo of the Fifth Column. Now, what's a fifth column, you ask? Oh, well, it kind of works like this. You have your elements of either governance or leadership or what have you. And the majority of them are supposed to be in league or in allegiance to the powers in the area they serve. But often you have what's called the fifth column. Okay, the fifth column is I won't say an official branch, but a contingent. Yeah, that's the word. That's the word I'll use. Of organization or a group within a country who are sympathetic to or in cahoots with what's called their enemies, or what are considered their enemies. So it can be a hidden group, you know, a clandestine group or faction, but they're considered subversive, and they're looking at undermining the solidarity of the group or the nation by whatever means that they have, whichever way they can. And so you look at these groups as being someone who may speak the truth about the situation, but are definitely contrary to the leadership in the group. So Bo has this attitude that I also find interesting, because it kind of connects with a group of I guess I'll call them columnists. Yeah, I'm being a little mischievous. Who are featured in the Root magazine, an online magazine. And their article kind of expresses the same kind of sympathy, but for a different reason. And that group is called Very Smart Brothers. And I don't know if you read the Root magazine. I've been reading it since its inception. And I discovered Bo of the fifth column a little while ago. And what I try to do is read and listen to and watch information, news, opinions by different people, even if they're diametrically opposed to my particular beliefs, because, well, no, not COVID, but because, well, it's good to find out what people who are opposed to you, or as they say, your enemies, you hold your enemies even closer than your friends, they say. So I try to hear what everybody's saying so I'm not caught by surprise. And also it's good if you want to do some bridge building. So having said that, when Donald Trump, announced that he had contracted the COVID virus, and he and his wife and members of his administration had found that he was positive for COVID, a lot of people, they celebrated and they participated in this dynamic called Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude. What in the world is that? Well, Schadenfreude is when you have some particular joy or you're happy about somebody else's misfortune. And that's a particularly German word that expresses this kind of how can we describe it? I won't say immature or adolescent, but it's not known as being a mature expression. You know, the idea is that when your enemies suffer, you're supposed to be kind to them. That's even a tenet of secular belief systems. You know, you don't have to guffaw and fall down on your face and be rolling down on the floor laughing when something happens to someone who is your sworn enemy, your arch enemy, whatever, however you want to call them. So what I wanted to talk about was the significance of going high when people go low. Yes. And to just kind of talk about where people are about this situation. Now, Bo has, let's see, how can I express it? I think he has a really good analytical take on it, in that he says, we want to have the POTUS healthy and able to discharge his powers and come back to work for a very important reason. And that reason is that he needs to come back healthy and then get his rear end, his gluteus maximus, soundly and roundly beat by the votes of the people. That he needs to find that the people have voted all of him, his cronies, his ideologies, his policies, everything that he represents, out, just out, and kicked out, you know, tarred and feathered, tarred, feathered, and carried out on a rail, you know, to express that this is not our idea of taking care of the people. And the very smart brothers have a parallel idea in that if you're happy about the fact that the president is sick with the coronavirus, then we're no better than he is. And that's not the way that you recover from his administration, that you really have to have human compassion and human understanding and not let his really ugly politics and ugly attitude affect how you interact with people, that you remember that this is for the greater good. It's not necessarily couched in a faith view, but it kind of is. You know, the golden rule is something that's espoused by a lot of different groups, and so their idea is it doesn't make us any better. And so, you know, you have the ethical or moral idea coming out of the very smart brothers. You have this very pragmatic, not necessarily secular, but most definitely political in terms of looking at the policies and attitudes and administration efforts to address the needs of the people in the country. And so my question to folks, as we're struggling here to get my colleague on the air, is to hear how you are feeling and thinking about this whole idea of we need to wish the president well, send some positive thoughts, prayers, whatever, that he is healthy and he comes back and then he gets kicked out. A massive landslide vote to show that's not where we're coming from. We're not interested in you. Get out and don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you, as they say. Anyway, as we're able, we will take some phone calls. I see my engineer here, Sonia, trying to get everything up and ready. So I will give you the phone number, which is 503-231-8187. Join in the conversation. Can you see your way to welcoming and hoping that the president is healthy and comes back? Trying to spread a little positive spin on the confusion that is with, I don't even know if I want to call it his hospitalization. I mean, because, well, you know, he gets up with COVID and he goes out and he rides in his car and he does the Queen wave. You know, the British Queen, she only rotates her hand at the wrist. She doesn't move any other part of it. I assume Trump does something likewise because he just loves monarchs and especially the despotic ones, you know. And he's out here being a super spreader on wheels. You know, can you find a way to hope that he gets better so that he can get his gluteus beat? Are you telling your friends and family go out and get registered? Are you trying to be collaborative and not celebratory in the face of his hospitalization with people who you might possibly sway out of the dark side into the light, you know. I know Trumpers, Trumpsters, Trumpettes, all the Trump supporter names, nicknames that we give them. Some of them are very firmly aligned in his base, and short of dynamite or death, they're not changing their mind. But there are some people who are waking up and smelling the proverbial coffee. And I just feel that anytime you can build a bridge, it's better. It's much, much preferable to Schadenfreude, you know, which is that gleeful Carlson from the Fresh Prince dance that he is in the hospital. Some people don't believe that he's really sick. Some people think, oh, this is just a way to garner pity or to postpone or set back the election, or maybe he's going to go in and then run out real quick and say, see that polymorpha pumpkin juice. There it is. I got it. That's what he's taking. And so he's going to prove that this whole COVID thing is fake. Yeah, I made that long word up. You know, I was trying to kind of make a spin or stick my tongue in my cheek while I was talking about all of the various, oh, I forgot to add, and hand sanitizer, where he's told people, shoot up these things, snort these things, and you'll be all right, just like me. So, you know, what do you think? Give me a call, 503-231-8187, here on your community connection, KBOO. And who have we, Sonia? Good morning, Claudia.
I just wanted to say that I hope the current resident of the White House has a speedy recovery, returns to office, and is kicked out in a landslide vote, and bases the charges brought by Cy Vance in the Southern District of New York, and spends the rest of his natural life in jail for the crimes he committed.
Okay, well, that's not Schadenfreude. That's really saying get what you deserve, you know.
You got it.
And, you know, how are you feeling with all the folks that you may know celebrating because he's got COVID? I mean, how does that make you feel? Because I hear you saying pretty much what I just said, like, no, he needs to be healthy and face charges.
I can understand where they're coming from, especially if they haven't eaten for 3 days.
Hello,
all sorts of reasons.
Yes. You hit the nail on the head. We have too many people who are worried about eating, paying utilities. Can I get a job? Can I get some unemployment? What do you mean my food stamps are cut off? You know, all of that. And we have our president of the United States and his wife basically saying, you know, give me a break. I don't want to hear this. You know, everybody's all right.
I'm okay. You're okay. And I heard that Mr. Rogers' neighborhood has also been declared an anarchist jurisdiction.
Doggone him for trying to make friends.
I know.
Well, you know what's going to happen to Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, don't you? It's going to get gerrymandered. Well, thanks for your call. And you're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Celeste Carey. I think I'm here with my colleague, Cecil Prescott. But good morning, Steve. You're here with me.
Yeah, good morning. First of all, I'm a local, born and raised in the Woodstock neighborhood. I appreciate KBOO for being who they are. And I have an interesting thought, and it's backed by fact. So this is a good discussion. I have empathy for Trump, but I don't have sympathy because of his actions, mocking the mask and then for him to get it.
Mm-hmm.
My response to him is just like it was to us. Mr. Trump, it is what it is.
Yes, it is.
Second of all, ma'am, it's interesting. I am a retired combat medic with the 2nd 75th Airborne Rangers.
All right.
I was trained in field medical procedures, and the interesting thing is, just like when we have a child, we isolate the child when he gets the flu. That's what was supposed to have been done here.
Yes.
Since that wasn't done, here we are. Now, I'm not mocking this. I just want to point out a couple things. If you go back on the timeline, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, the reason why we don't have a president is because Trump can't release any power, because he already did back in February. He signed over his presidential powers. We're being taken over by the global world government now, New World Order, because of this fact, and you can verify it and then correct me. FEMA was given, the Federal Emergency Management Agency was giving power to the signing of the document of Trump's declaration of a national emergency. That takes Trump out of power. That gives all the power, not to Congress, not to the president, not to the Senate, but to FEMA. FEMA is now running the country with the 500 companies that are disrupting the all the transportation, all the supply chains of this country, because you're right, that's the agenda. There's another government, a fifth element, that's running the country, and you can confirm or unconfirm what I just said. It's documented. Trump signed over, under the national security, the powers to the FEMA of the United States. So FEMA is running things, not President Trump, not President Spence, or Vice President Pence, because in this case, the Constitution's very clear. He's incapacitated. He's supposed to step down, and the vice president is supposed to run per the Constitution. If he can't do it, then Nancy Pelosi's the next in charge. So why is the president saying he doesn't have presidential power? Well, because he doesn't. He signed it over to FEMA, and FEMA is running things. FEMA can go around the country now. They can go arrest people without warrants. They can disrupt things because they have all power and authority right now until Trump declares no longer a national emergency. So I digress, and that's my response.
Okay, well, you dive deep on that one, Steve. And so what I would do is suggest that people do their research and check things out and, get their gray cells to working. Thank you for your call. Deidre, you're next.
Hi there.
Good morning.
I just want to say thanks so much for KBOO on the air. I'm a monthly supporter because I know that you guys are such a great voice.
Well, thank you.
But, you know, I just wanted to say it's easy to do the Carlton dance, as you suggested, and kind of get excited because he should get what's coming to him. But more importantly, I just wanted to say that I pray and meditate and put my good thoughts out there that he has a true healing and a true awakening for the narcissism and the racism.
Oh,
and the
yes.
COVID.
Oh, yes.
I mean, if you're going to pray for anything, that's what it is.
Yes.
But never will we take our eyes off the prize.
No, we shouldn't. And he's not the prize.
No, he's not. So my voting plan is in place. I am not going to take my foot off the gas. So.
Just don't run him over.
That's right.
Because we got to have enough bail money to get us out for protesting if he tries to steal the election.
That's right.
Well, thank you for your call. Thank you for your comments. And Robbie, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, good. There's a lot of interesting stuff. The secrecy behind, what's happening to Donald Trump. There was some interesting stuff that people were reporting when he first got diagnosed with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
That there was these, I forget what they're called. I think they're like E6B, but basically these aircraft went up in the air, and these aircraft, one on the West Coast, one on the East Coast, and these particular aircraft are kind of like a, it's if for some reason the White House or the Washington, D.C. were to get attacked, and let's say, and this kind of goes along with the whole FEMA thing, actually, which was Steve, I believe, was talking about.
Yes, Steve.
The planes in the air that they sent up were like, it's kind of known that these E-6Bs have the capabilities of calling out nuclear strikes all over the world. So if for some reason there was a first strike against the White House, basically America went on full defense mode the moment it went that Donald Trump had COVID. That's some interesting stuff that happened. Initially, I didn't think that he actually had COVID. I found it extremely convenient that with the release of the, you know, the tax documents, you know, the $400 million that he owes, all the you know, all the businesses, you know, all of the tax evasion, all of that, none of the mainstream media is talking about anymore. You know, and I felt like that was a pretty convenient thing, along with the debate which happened, which was, oh my gosh, such a, I mean, and people in both camps, I think Donald Trump, campaigners, and which ironically Obama in 2008, Obama's campaign team is now, you know, worked for Donald Trump in 2016, and I'm sure they're still working for him now. The same thing with Biden. I bet you both teams were actually relieved that they don't have to do a debate anymore, because that was just so awful.
Well, it was awful on, for, you know, only a diehard, not as, I don't want to make this sound pejorative, but not as educated as it could be. Only somebody like that would think he actually won, you know, who's used to bully tactics and doesn't understand the whole idea of a debate and, you know, the structure and the, you know, the rhetorical practice. But, yeah, it was sad. But, you know, I'm not going to make excuses for him, but I'm thinking, well, of course he had COVID then, but he didn't act like he was affected by COVID. He acted like he normally does. He tries to bully and bluster and, you know, blow a lot of bull about so that it's thinking we can't see and hear, you know.
Right.
But I appreciate your comments, yes, because I think, well, this is all a show, and the problem is we have to be diligent and watch how everything happens up until after the curtain drops, because we won't know what's happened until after all four shoes drop, because he doesn't walk on two.
Can I make two last points real quick?
Really quick.
So what sitting president would be given experimental cocktails? I don't that's a very, what was that?
I said, thank you. That's another thing. Yes.
Right. I don't think that they would just be trying out something, you know, experimental, although there is VIP treatment sometimes. But second point, Winston, to quote Winston Churchill, which I'm not a huge fan of. I'm not a fan at all, actually, of Winston Churchill. But to quote Winston Churchill, he said, if it happens in politics, it was planned.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you for the Have a good day.
You too as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's good to hear that people are listening, have eyes open and brain fully engaged, because we don't know if we're seeing some orchestrated drama in effect. We don't know if this is indeed just one of those sporadic coincidental situations that wasn't necessarily planned but can be taken advantage of. It's kind of ironic, though, to hear that the president has contracted COVID, and then how a lot of the Trump supporters are claiming that there's got to be some kind of conspiracy with that, because, well, why is COVID hitting the Republican side so hard? Why are Republicans the one going down, you know, with this disease? And you have to really, again, open your eyes and have an unbiased look at the situation. And yes, the Republicans have the biggest amount of the COVID infections that we've heard. And I guess it's true that the Democrats did have some information But that information was, it wasn't secret. It was given to everyone. It was just, you know, put right in front of your face sometimes. Literally, as Cecil says. That's what makes it even more ironic, because if you look at the CDC, if you look at any state department of health, you know, any municipal department of health, even on television shows and businesses and corporations hawking their goods, they're saying, wash your hands, wear a mask so you can keep buying our goods. You know, because we need you healthy and to be good consumers, you know. And the fact that all of Trump's aides and administrative support are not encouraging this madman to wash his hands, I guess it comes back down to one of my 2-year-old nieces saying, that's he get. You know, out of the mouth of babes comes some logic and truth and wisdom that maybe Trump could benefit from. Oh, that's right. He's a grown 2-year-old. That's the problem. Anyway, we've got Tim on the line. It's 8:43 here on your Community Connection. Join by calling us at 503-231-8187. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Thank you. Appreciate your insight on this. But I, my comment is, you know, I don't want Trump, you know, to get any worse per se, just other than the fact that it might wake up some of his supporters, because nothing the guy does. I mean, you come out with these tax allegations against him.
Yes.
You know, all the charitable, and it just doesn't wake him up. And maybe this will be the one thing, if he does get seriously ill or even passes away, it might wake him up and say, you know what, maybe we need to listen to the experts. Maybe we need to not believe everything's fake news and everything. So that's my only comment. So appreciate your show. Thank you.
Well, wait, Tim, don't leave yet. Here's the thing. Sure. You know, Trump supporters are really firm. I would call them zealots, you know, because they've gone past that point of reason and rational thought. Do you really think that they would wake up if their exalted one passes, or do you think they'll make a martyr out of him and take to the streets?
I suppose some would go both ways. Some would make a martyr of him because that's just the way they are when they're zealots like that.
Mm-hmm.
And some would, you know, actually say, oh, well, maybe this is the truth. And I'm sure some would say, oh, this is just fake news. And he's really, you know, he's working on the pedophile ring. Just crazy kind. So that brings me actually to another point that I would like to make. Let's just call it what it is, because I don't want to go down the road of all the people that are saying, oh, this is fake news and stuff. I mean, it is what it is. He has COVID. Let's not go down that road, you know, where we're like, oh, it's, you know, he doesn't have it because he wouldn't get down the debates. You know, let's just call it what it is. So anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate your show. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling. You know, one of the reasons people are suspicious, and a lot of people feel that this is just, a play, we're watching some drama unfold, is because they think, okay, he is going to prove that he's not sick. He's already up and walking around. That COVID can't kick him, you know, because he's healthy. Look at him. And I guess they forgot that wonderful complexion of his is bronzer. Does anybody ever look at the edges of that bronzer and notice that there's about a quarter inch gap between it and his hairline? You know, what kind of healthy person has pale bags under their eyes and hale and hearty orange complexion elsewhere? You know, his hands don't match his face. They are so pale. And when you see him without that bronzer, he looks as though he crawled out from under a rock. And I'm not being disparaging. It's like everybody said, I'm calling it like I see it. And it's a frightening thing to think that this man is quote unquote healthy. He makes me want to get out and eat a whole bunch more green and orange and red and purple vegetables and nice fat trimmed off meat and drink lots of water, because I look at him and I think, I don't want to be that at 74 years of age, you know. And the other concern I have is that again, it's really important that his contingent of trumpets, that's an ironic name because they're trumpeting out. Well, okay, don't go down rabbit hole. Don't go down that rabbit hole. But anyway, you know, his folks have some idea that they represent the majority of people, that the majority of people really support him. And so from time to time, like I said, I'll go on the web and I'll see people of color supporting him, Latinos for Trump, Native Americans for Trump, various Asian communities for Trump, African Americans, Caribbean Americans for Trump. And it's like, you want to ask these people, can you please translate your rationale for me into normal so I can understand why you think this man is so good for us, you know? And I really want to understand. I'm not asking to mock. I'm asking really because I want to understand. Where are you? What universe are you in that this makes sense to you? How are you so brainwashed that you're voting against your own interest? You know. Good morning, Linda. How are you doing?
I'm okay. It's always kind of hard to feel stable in the midst of the winds of currents of everything going on.
That's true.
But within that, I'm okay. I wanted to say a couple things. One was there was an interview with his niece who wrote the book, Mary Trump?
Yes.
She described how they were asking her how were illnesses handled in that family.
Uh-huh.
And she said, you're considered absolutely a coward and weak if you're ill. And you should show no signs of it and never give in to it. And they mock anyone who gets sick, including all the way up through his mother, his brother. But going back, that's the family notion about illness.
Uh-huh.
And so you see him doing these videos in these nice suits and then running out in his car and all of those things, and basically it's the desperation to not look weak,
mm-hmm.
the internal desperation. So I think that's driving him a lot. It made sense to me. But here's the other thing is, I don't, and I know this is a little controversial, and I do believe in karma, and so I never wish anybody's death,
mm-hmm.
but I don't feel bad that he's ill. He's
mm-hmm.
responsible for deaths. We have to remember the people on the border and the children on the border and all the asylum seekers that are starving and eating garbage and dying and being raped and those things because of him, because of his policies. And we're not even talking about how many of the COVID deaths we could attribute to the poor management. So I don't feel bad he's ill at all. I don't even wish him a speedy recovery. I wish him a slow and difficult COVID experience like those who have it going on forever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any pretense he could just get over it because there's so many who can't.
Yes.
That's why they were looking at his lungs and stuff, because lung damage happens way before sometimes people even have shortness of breath.
Yes, that's true.
So I'm not wishing him the best. I'm just not. And if that, I just can't. He's a murderer. He's the leader of a country causing some of the worst trouble in the world. And he's a bad man. You know, that's, so I don't wish him harm. I didn't wish COVID on him. I can't. I'm not magical.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't get him iller either by my wishes, but in my own feeling, I just assume he got sicker.
Well, I can understand I can understand, you know, your perspective. I can. And especially if you're someone who's been harmed by any of his policies or attitudes, or you're somebody who has lost someone to COVID or anything, I can truly understand.
Racism and his support of the police shooting black people. That's enough to be happy he's sick.
You know, but you know, one thing, you know, you
I wouldn't mind if he was puking. I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness.
I really hate to puke, so that's the worst of being.
Yeah, yeah, puking. I
like
confess
it.
That makes you feel a little helpless, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, anyway, thank you for your call.
I just wanted to throw that in there.
Uh-huh. Thank you for calling. You're listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metropolitan area, 91.9 along the Columbia River Gorge, 104.3 and along the Willamette River Valley, and everywhere in the world, it is KBOO.FM. Now, I've been trying to coax you on the microphone here, Cecil. did you have any thoughts as we wind up? I know we've had some technical difficulty trying to get our three different studios set up so that we could do this show. So, you know, your mic is hot.
Okay.
Don't let it cool off.
I'm still, well, it's actually, I'm still trying to figure out how come FEMA is running the government, but.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to agree with the caller. I'm trying to remember what it was.
In FEMA?
Steve?
It's just this, I think there's something in our society where we want to find conspiracy around everything, and I think that's symbolic of our inability to deal with what's right there in front of us.
Well, maybe people feel like this hidden government is hidden right in front of us. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but you know, I'm also, I how can I say this without sounding, hey, I like conspiracies.
I just haven't gone down that hole and X-Files and all of that.
Well, I don't even have to get into X-Files, you know. I just look at how the government operates and look at how a conspiracy is just a plan by two or more parties that may or may not involve me, but it didn't involve me in the planning. It's about me or about some of us, but it didn't involve us. And I mean, being of Native American and Black and Irish heritage, all three of those groups have had quote unquote Holocausts and diasporas and what looked like conspiracies, you know, foisted upon them. And well, so, yeah, you know, I've been always told, be vigilant, look, because your enemy is after you.
Yeah, I guess my point is that usually the evidence is right there in front of you. And mm-hmm. to try to say that there's some, for me at least, to say there's some secret government. No, the government is right there in front of you. The president is, and his inability to run an effective government, that's what's wrong. We don't have to, I don't think we have to go through to too many conspiracy theories just to see what's clearly right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a business interest and those in power are the ones who are keeping things under their control. And we have to look at things and say, we want to make a change.
Well, that's very much in front of our face. We've got a few minutes here. Let's see if we can squeeze in these next two calls quickly. Good morning, Edie.
Hi. Answering your question, why do people vote for Trump?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? So Professor Arlie Rochelle, Hochschild, Hochschild, was curious about that. Professor in Berkeley, California, UC Berkeley, went to the most red of the reddest parts of the United States over several years to find out why people are such persistent lovers or voters for Trump mm-hmm. when doing shows against their own interests. So I suggest that people read the book, Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning, I mean, and Grief, on the American Right. And she also has a TED Talk on Scaling the Empathy Wall. And some of that is, do you imagine that you've been working really hard, following the rules, waiting in line, and the promised pay never comes.
Yes, yeah.
And then people cut in front of you, and that means there's less pay for you, and they're being unfair, and they're treating you with contempt. They're calling you the contemptibles or the, you know, nasty names, mm-hmm. and you're not given any acceptance, respect, appreciation. You're being dehumanized.
Okay. Well, we'll have to take it at that, Edie, because I got one more person, and then we got to get off the air in 2 minutes. But that's a very good point. So what's her name again, really quickly?
Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right, and a TED Talk is Scaling the Empathy Wall.
Thank you so much for that. That's some good information. And next, Victoria.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, responding to the same issue, which has always puzzled Anthony and I, there was an essay published in Politico just about a month ago, and the title is Trump is an Authoritarian, mm-hmm. So Are Millions of Americans.
This is a yeah, follow-up. That's true.
This is a follow-up to Matthew C. McWilliams, who wrote a book on fascism, 12 Lessons from American History. At any rate, the long story short, 2 years ago he did an essay about this, pointing out that people who are authoritarians, like the strong man, the boss, and a lot of it is reflected in child-rearing practices.
Yes.
So this is based on basically sociological research, and it says that some people find it's more important to have a powerful, usually male, authority figure than it is to have fairness or kindness. So mm-hmm. It basically, the essay was published in Politico.
Let's I got see. About 10 seconds.
Yeah, I know. Okay. September 23rd, so basically, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Well, thank you for that information as well, Victoria. That is also informing. And, you know, the thing is, let's build some bridges and figure out how we can bridge this big gap that's growing, the schism that's growing in America, and make us one nation again. But in the meantime, don't get too happy yet, because you know what they say about counting those unhatched chickens, you know? Let's put all of our energy into reaching out to those who have been injured by Trump and build this nation strong. And keep your community radio, KBOO, strong. Support us during our membership drive. Bring us some new members, but most importantly, support, listen, and share. This is your community connection, KBOO Radio. Stay tuned for the Old Mole Variety Hour.